Today, I want to just share with you some thoughts on what is the church. Amen. Yeah. I drink from there. I can nearly sung myself hoarse. What is the church? Some people would say it is here as a physical body of believers that are relevant in the community, in which it is placed and to have a positive effect for good on the area and on the nation and the nations in which it operates. Would you agree? That sounds like a good definition. You know, there's a word of scripture that says for the church that Jesus said in Matthew 22 and verse 9 and 10, and this was a story when he was talking about the feast, when a man was arranging his wedding. We're having a wedding soon next year, aren't we? All plans have been made and moving towards that. Pile of paperwork to do. Glory to God, honestly. But we're making plans. And so this man had planned his wedding in the Bible and he'd invited all his friends to come along. And he was a rich man. It was a big do he was having. And then it turns out in the story, some of them started sending excuses. Oh, I can't come because I've just gone and bought this and I need to test it out. Oh, I can't come. I've just married a wife and I'm not sure what she looks like yet. So I need to just check her out, see if she's okay. You know, and all these excuses were being made. And so the king, this rich king, said to his servants, go out into the highways and the byways and compel those people to come in so there's not a seat left. Amen. In the building. Yes. Amen. Let every seat be filled. Yes. And that's part of our commission, yes, to go out, yes, and to reach people and to bring them into the kingdom of God, into the presence of God, and to be able to enjoy the wedding feast that will be there at eternity when Jesus comes again finally. So there's going to be more than one wedding, I'll tell you. You know, there's going to be a great wedding. There's, you know, the eternal wedding when Christ and the church come together is going to be a fantastic banquet. So, but we're going to have a good one this next year, aren't we? Praise God. And so the church is there to begin to do things in the community. But if that is all the church was to be doing, then it is just a community body. Yeah. It becomes like the local authority. Yeah. It becomes just a body that's just doing natural things. Yeah. But I'm going to put this to you. There's another calling on the church. Yeah. You see, the issue is that if the church is just that body to help out, we can only take it to the level of the standards that are in our own lives. Yeah. But there's a higher calling for the church. Yeah. And firstly, the Word of God teaches us that as individuals, we have to have a faith knowledge of God. Amen. As our Heavenly Father. Yeah. It's one of the reasons I come to church. I don't come to to join a club. No. I've joined different clubs. I'm in a motorbike club. I'm in a camera club. You know? And the clubs, they're okay at doing certain things. But when I came to church, I did not come to church to join a club. I came to church because I wanted a relationship with the Creator of all things, our Father God. So the church firstly needs to be a faith-based community, based on the faith of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ from the Word of God here that we have before us. Jesus Christ, He's the one who gives that level, who sets that standard. He's the man who was perfect. He was the Son of God who became the Son of Man. He brought himself and he lowered himself to become the Son of Man, that he might exalt you and I to become sons of the living God, to bring us into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. So what I want to do now is I want to take you into 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 41. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 41. I really, you know, Corinthians, this chapter in particular, I didn't know where to start with it and where to finish with it, so I'm going to dive in at verse 41 and just work from there. Could be all over the place. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another of the stars. Of stars differs from stars in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown as perishable body. It is raised as imperishable. So what is this, what is Paul saying there? He's saying right there at the moment, he says, you and I live in a perishable body. Would you agree?
Yes.
Has anybody got any aches and pains?
I have.
They kicked a football at me in the youth some months back. And do you know, it still bothers me. I've got an ache from it. Sometimes it's a pain as well. So we live in this body that is perishable. Just this last few days, I've heard of a couple of people who I have known for many years who were Christians who have died and gone on to be with the Lord. So we know for one thing for sure that unless Jesus returns before we die, we are destined for the grave. So we live in this perishable body. But what Paul is saying is that is a seed that first, when God created man, he said he made him out of the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into him life.
Amen.
He breathed into him life and he gave him life. And at that point, man became a living soul. God touched him in that realm. And in creating him in that physical realm, he also created him in the spiritual realm. And he planted a seed in him, which was the seed which should live forever. Maintaining the relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so Paul is saying here that we have this natural body that is made of corruptible seed. But we also have this spiritual body that is made of incorruptible seed. And that God would raise us up in that last day. Immortal. Eternal. Incorruptible seed. To be in his presence and to know him, whom to know is life eternal. So also it is written, the first man Adam became a living soul. The last Adam became a living spirit. Who's the last Adam? Jesus. What Adam, the first Adam, failed to do through his sin in the garden, Jesus, the second Adam, came and completed that work. He said he was perfect. That he had never sinned. He never sinned in any shape or form. He was from an incorruptible seed. First man, Adam, was made of the earth. The second man is from heaven. Verse 48 says, and as the earthly, so also are those who are earthly. And as is the heavenly, so are those who are heavenly. Where's our mind situated? I know we think about the earthly things that go on in our lives, don't we? But as we know, for a moment in time, we realize that at that some point in time, our life ends in this physical form. We need to be also considering our eternal life, our spiritual life, yeah, as to who we are and our relationship with our Heavenly Father. realize that we, as we make our relationship and as we follow the Lord Jesus and accept Him into our hearts and lives, as we follow Him, we shall see God moving in our lives and changing our destiny and forming us into His very image. Because that is what God wants to do. He wants to form you into His very own image. Look at the person next to you. Ask Jesus into your life and they've been made in the image of God. You might say, well, you don't know their faults. No, I don't. But God does. And God accepts you with all your faults. Hard lines in, you've just got to take me as I am. That's right. We take each other with our faults and our failings. But we do that because it is the love of God that compels us to do that. It's the love of God that has forgiven us and set us free from all of our sins. It is that love that if God was to pay us for the things that we've done wrong, we'd be in trouble. But because of the love of Christ, because of His sacrifice on the cross, today we don't get our just reward. Christ took my punishment upon that cross. He forgave me for all the things I've done wrong, and He's forgiven me for all of the things that I will do wrong. Because I'll tell you what, you can guarantee that tomorrow or even this day you'll do something wrong. Oh, I won't. I'm a good person. Well, Jesus made it so tough that He said this to His disciples. He said, if you think a wrong thought, you've already done it. That's tough, isn't it? If you drive a car and somebody cuts you up, nearly takes your front end off, you think, bless them, don't you? Yeah, you take my space, it's alright, yeah. I just had to do emergency brake, nearly put everybody through the windscreen, but yeah, that's okay. No, you don't. Come on, let's be honest. We're losing it straight away, aren't we? That's just on a small thing, isn't it? Sorry, Chris. She drives, don't you? You're alright. Yeah, but I mean, the other one is, if for instance, family fallout. Anybody had a family fallout? Happens, don't it? See, we're all different. We're all different. And have these fallouts, and if you're not careful, this fallout can bring us to a place of hatred for one another. And that hatred can turn to, and comments like this come out, because I've heard them in the past, I wish they were dead. It's like committing murder. It's like committing murder. Because the Bible teaches, Jesus says, there's power in your words. See, there is power in the Bible teaches this. There's life in James. It says there's life and death. There's power in the tongue. So we have to watch what we say. And so So the church today is being created to be a power source for the world, for a blessing to the world. And I know there are things that have been done in the name of the church that weren't actually in the name of the church, but it was just a good idea and somebody made a fat profit and a big killing out of it. But it weren't really done in the name of the church, it was just misused. And so often this happens. We put God's name into something and we misuse it and abuse it. But God is different to that. For God so loved the world, it says, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God shall not perish, but they shall have everlasting life. Believe means to accept, to ask Him to come into your life. And he will cause you to know a change of heart, a change of desires, a change of motivation, and cause you to know his presence. See, God created you as a living soul, but he also placed his spirit, an incorruptible seed within you when you asked Jesus into your life. But you see, there is a battle going on for your life and for my life. The devil sought to destroy Adam and Eve in the garden and continues to do so. Today, as we know in this area that we live in, alcohol and drugs are going on constantly, and these things are killing and destroying people. We're seeing drug addicts dying on streets. Alcoholics. Everything lost because of an addiction to alcohol. You know, the church has the answers in Jesus Christ. Sadly, we put programs together. The program is not enough. There has to be a new seed, a new direction, and a new purpose placed in a person's life. And that is Christ. You know, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 says this. Jesus said to the church and to his disciples, "You are to be the light." Don't hide your light. So often we sit inside a building and this little light of mine is just for us and just for me. No, it's not. The light that came into your life, the knowledge and the revelation of Jesus Christ came into your life that you might share it with others. And so Jesus said, "Let your light shine. Be the light. Show people the way. Show the example. Be the example." Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He also said to them in that scripture, he said, "You're to be the salt." Now, I know my sister cooks her food and she don't use salt. But, you know, I like a bit of salt. It brings out some flavours in the food. But say, don't use too much salt because of your heart, etc. And so, you know, she goes the other way and don't use any. It's like, it's okay, but not quite right for me. I like a bit of salt, a bit of flavour, you know. And so you go with those sort of things, don't you? But you see, the salt that they used, they used to have a bag, like a muslin bag. And in it was salt. And they would put it into the pan. And they would cook with it in the pan. And it would the stew that they were cooking would absorb the salt from within the bag. And then they would take it out after a certain period of time. And they would keep that and dry it, and they would keep reusing it. But then it came to a point one day when there was no more salt left within that rock salt. And so it just became rocks. And there was no flavour with it. And so what happened then was the bag was emptied and it was thrown away, left being trampled underfoot. And so when Jesus says, "Be salt," he says, he wants you to be fresh salt so that you give flavour.
Amen.
You give a savour. You give, you know, that people want what you've got.
Amen.
People desire what you've got. Don't get to a point when you're just an old bag of rocks.
Yes.
Just fit for throwing out and just trampling underfoot. Always be instant in season. Have a word. Have a word of encouragement. Take an opportunity to pray and to minister into people's lives. Begin to set a standard.
Yeah.
A standard of the Word of God that encourages others to aim high.
Yeah.
To stand in a place that will encourage others to have a personal relationship with God. Yes, it's possible. It is not an impossible thing. That's the reason Jesus came. He also tells us that we're to help the widows and the orphans. And we as a church, we've done a lot of those things, and as we even go out on the mission fields and we help others in different countries with great problems, and we show the compassion of Jesus and the love of God. That is part of our function. But the most important part is that we don't just touch the physical needs of a community, but we touch the spiritual needs of a community. Because the community is not just a physical body. It is a spiritual being. There are individuals in the community, and we have to touch their lives. Have an impact on their lives. You know, it's okay giving out handouts all the time. And these are the big mistakes that we've made over the years in Africa. We've just given out, and we've just let them, and we've kept giving, instead of giving the equipment to actually help themselves provide for their own needs. And giving them the skills to help them provide for their own needs. And so it's important that we don't just dole it out, that we actually help people to provide for themselves. Help people to have that ability to do things. We even do English classes here. What are we doing? We're trying to help people to communicate so they can actually go out, find a job, be useful in the community, and be part of the community. So these are things that we can do physically. But at the same time, we need to present Jesus. We need to present the power of the gospel. And we need to show the people of God around us that God loves them. In John's Gospel chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, "But cometh the hour, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth." It is about the spiritual. It is about touching God, because God is a spirit. We can't understand God with our minds. Sometimes God shows me things in the Word of God and it just blows my mind. I think, whoa, where did that come from? What is God showing me? God wants us to come into a deeper relationship with Himself. So the church is not just a physical dimension, but the church is to be a spiritual dimension that will have an impact on our society. I was reading a book, I told you just on Wednesday, how people began to pray during the Great Depression, and prayer meetings were being held all over the country, and suddenly the presence and the power of God began to move. People's lives were being changed. People were finding God as their Lord and Savior. Healings were happening. Miracles were happening, because we serve a God who is a God of miracles. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen deaf ears unstopped. I serve a God who is a God of miracles. I've seen the lame walk. We serve a God of miracles. We have to believe that. So don't just be a social club, but be sociable. It's good to be sociable. Smile and talk to people. I talk to everybody I see on the street. I think sometimes I think, oh, it's him again, I'm off. You know, never stop talking. But you need to speak to people. We need to share the gospel. We need to pray for people. We need to encourage these people. We need to give them opportunities to connect. And so, yeah, we're a physical presence. We're doing things in the church. We'd love to do more. But as finance and other things allow us to, so we shall. And numbers. The other thing that we can do is become a real powerhouse of prayer and of the presence of God, and that will begin to show and see things moving mightily. The church is here not just to fill a gap, but the church is here to give people a hope and a future. Not just for now, not just for a few years, but for eternity. We're dealing as a body of believers, we're actually dealing with eternal matters. You know, some folks say, well, when you're dead, you're dead. No, you ain't. You're not. Some people say, well, you know, for the Christians, it's eternal life. But for the non-believer, it's eternal life. One's eternal life in torment, in a place of hatred called hell. The other one is eternal life in heaven with the love and the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and a future and a hope. Hell was never made for humanity. It was made for demonic forces that rebelled. Joshua once said to the children of Israel, choose you this day who you will serve. And Joshua said this, he says, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And that is a decision that we have made. As for me and my house, that we will serve the Lord. No, it's not always easy. You don't fall into a bed of roses and come out unscarred. Roses have thorns. We dug all ours up because every time I walked by, they seemed to grab me and slash my legs when I was cutting the grass. I said, that's it, they're out. Life is not all comfortable being a believer in Jesus. There are challenges that we face. There are things that we go through. But I tell you what, we have a sure and certain hope. When you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is the presence of God constantly in your life, leading you and directing you and taking you through. And I just want to encourage you. Remember that we're here as a physical being, but we're here also with a spiritual presence. And for the spiritual, for the physical presence that we have to be more effective, we need to be more spiritual. We need to see God moving in our lives in a deeper, stronger spiritual way. George Muller, who fed thousands of orphan children at orphanages up and down through the area of Bristol. There were mornings when they woke up and there was no food in the kitchen. And they said, what are we going to do? We're going to pray and thank God for breakfast. Amen. And they prayed and they thanked God for breakfast. And suddenly there's a knock on the door. Yeah. And there's a load of food being delivered and there's nobody there. God is able to do beyond all that we can think or even imagine. We've seen coming here for us as a church, this is a miracle. Financially, it's a financial miracle. God has done far more than we could believe or even think. And it's not over yet. And so the journey continues. So let us not just be that physical body, but let us be that spiritual body. Let us commit ourselves to prayer and to the praying and seeing the presence and the power of God changing this area for the glory of God. Amen? Just let's pray a moment. Father, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the mystery of the cross. We thank you, Lord, for the resurrection of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that your word teaches us that in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye, at the last call of the last trumpet, it says the dead shall be raised imperishable and we shall be changed. Father, I pray that for each and every one of us, that we would know you, whom to know is life eternal. But knowing you, Lord, would bring such a peace into our lives and such a presence of you, Father. And that, Lord, we would see victory constantly in our lives, day after day after day, Father. So, Father, I just thank you for this last week, and I praise you, O God, for this coming week, that, Lord, you would keep and care for each and every one of us and just minister into our lives, Father. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.